Matthew chapter 2. And while you're turning there, I'll just say, Tom Google Search Craft told me that the term poinsettia comes from two different languages. And so we get them from either one. So whichever language you use, one's German, I think, the other one's something else. But one says poinsettia and the other says poinsettia. So we actually get them from two different languages. So depends on what your background is, I guess. All right. Learned something new in church today. That's awesome. All right. Do you have joy? I hope so. What's that old song? I've got joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Oh, that's wonderful. Yes. Let's take another offering and then just get to, no, just kidding. All right. So what do savage people do at Christmas time? Well, they trample underfoot innocent people so they can save a buck. Between 2006 and 2018, according to the Hustle Research, 44 Black Friday incidents in America have left 11 people dead and 109 injured. One 2008, a Walmart employee on Long Island, he was trampled to death by more than 2,000 people that broke through the doors to get in to get the deals because they didn't open as soon as they were supposed to. In a Walmart parking lot, not a good day to be a good Samaritan, but according to the Washington Post in 2016, a man by the name of Isidro Zarat, he was saw a man pulling this woman's hair who had a bunch of packages. He didn't know if she was, you know, being robbed or something because the guy wanted the packages. So he yelled as he was walking towards the woman, "Hey, stop pulling her hair." To which the guy stopped pulling her hair and then pulled out a gun and shot him. And so, yeah. One man shattered a hip because he was shoved by a bunch of crowd miserable creeps into one of the store shelves. In California, a woman pepper sprayed an entire crowd when the blue light went on, so she was the only one that got the special. Yeah, savage people. And this is supposed to be the most wonderful time. 20% of incidences happen at the store entranceways as crowds break through the doors. 11% take place outside of the store, either in parking lots. People have been shot because somebody else had taken their parking spot. And of course, you have road rage. Of course, we don't need holidays for road rage. I mean, that happens. That happens. So, but here's the idea. This is Black Friday, one day after everybody sits down and goes, "Thank you, Lord, for everything that I already have." Really? We sure are thankful. But we still look forward to Christmas, even though there's a bunch of dumb, savage people you want to throat punch. But Christmas, listen, for it's an illustration. Don't go crazy. But Christmas is a magical time of the year, right? It is a very magical time of the year. For lack of a better illustration, I mean, we don't believe in magic, but it's just a magical time of the year. It's filled with fun. It's filled with peppermint. I love McDonald's eggnog shakes and peppermint shakes and just, oh, so wonderful. And the lights and the decorations and the poinsettias, setas, whatever, however you want to pronounce that. It's awesome. We love it. And I don't know about you, but I look forward to the radio station after Thanksgiving always plays Christmas music 24/7 till the new year. That's cool. You just turn that on and just it gets you into the mood and all that wonderful stuff. So I want to play a game with you. I love Christmas games. This is so fun. I'm going to come down here. Have a seat. You're going to sing along with me. You already began to, so I know you're in the mood. When you know this Christmas song, you just sing along.
I'm
that's so beautiful. Okay, that's enough. You know Dasher. That's, look how awesome that is. I saw. Oh, that's so great. Jingle bell, jingle bell. Oh, you guys are awesome. Here comes. Oh, that's great. Rocking around. Oh, that's, okay, that's good. Grandma got, oh, boy. Frosty. Cheyenne, when she was little, used to say he was a jolly, happy snow. All I want for... Wow, you guys are good. Feliz. Oh, you guys even know Spanish. Have a holly. Oh, so good. Oh, silver. Oh, have yourself a... I don't even have to stop. You guys just keep finishing it. On the first day... What was on the eighth day? Oh, wow. You know that? Good gravy. Let it snow. Oh, we already sang this one. It's the most wonderful. It's a little green, but it's still beginning to look. I ain't getting nothing. Because you all been bad. I really can't stay. But maybe it's cold outside. Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, enough with the fun. Now, listen. We just sang 20 wonderful Christmas songs. That's awesome. Every one of you knew them from memory. So, I hope you have your steel toes on. Because I want somebody to stand up right now and quote 20 verses of Scripture from memory. That's awesome. It happens like that. But everybody else was going, somebody else stood up and said it. That was great. I was going to say, you don't know the shortest verse of the Bible, John 11:35, but somebody does. Jesus wept. You just ruined my whole illustration. But here's the idea, folks. 31,102 verses in the Bible. And all I ask for you to do is give me 20. You just went through 20 Christmas songs, though. You'll know every one of the words. You'll know every one of the melodies. And when they come on, you can sing right along with them. So 31,102 verses in the Bible, and somebody couldn't give me 20 of them. Well, she tried. That's awesome, but... The shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35. Jesus wept. You should know John 3:16. What is the whole purpose of a Christian? Give God glory. Where's that found? First Corinthians. Okay, we'll work on this. We got another year. Listen, let me ask you this question. What is the most important book with the most important information you'll ever read? How's come we fill our head with other stuff? If the Bible is the most important information that we need for our daily lives, for everyday life, how's come we don't know it? You should always go back to the Word of God, because that's where you will find the truth. Let's get into our study this morning. Matthew chapter 2. Verse 1 through 5, Matthew writes this. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east. to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." Now when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And so they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written." For thus it is written. Do you know, when we counsel from the Word of God. And we say, this is what God says. And then when we talk about having joy, we say, this is what God says. When we talk about bringing you back from depression, we say, this is what God says. And then when we say anything, you want joy? Well, this is what God says. You want this? This is what God says. You know what salvation is? Well, let me show you what God says. So everything that we say and we do is based off of what the Bible says, as it is written. So the question is, where do you find the answers? Where it's written. Let's open with a word of prayer and we'll continue on. Ron, would you open us in a word of prayer, please?
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're in a comfortable world where we can open up your book and we can worship. Lord, we sit here today and we appreciate that we have a pastor here and everything, Lord, but sometimes we forget that here on the board came up Silent Night. I can sit there and I can sing Silent Night. That shows you right there that that's all we have to do is open up the Bible and read it, Lord. Because we read the Bible every year, like you sang the song, Silent Night, Lord, we would know your entire word. We just thank you for the past, we thank you for this church. We just add to this prayer, Lord, where I'm at, and just come to some of these things.
Amen. Thank you very much. That was wonderful. So, in the Bible, there are 292 verses, Old and New Testament, that talk about as it is written. The Old Testament, some of that talks about are not the rest of these written in the Chronicles and in the beginning in Deuteronomy and Leviticus and Exodus. God says, "I have written to you these things." And so there's 292 in the entire Bible, 148 in the Old Testament, 144 in the New Testament, and all those quote the Old Testament. So as it is written, and here's the thing, don't let society, don't let culture, don't let television, don't let radio, don't let songs, don't let anything take away from the truth. And what I mean is this, truth will always be true, a lie will always be a lie, and a teaspoon of truth mixed with a barrel of, or a teaspoon of lies mixed with a barrel of truth becomes a barrel of lies. Truth must stay pure. And this is what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 9. The NLT puts it this way. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. A little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. Just takes a little bit and the whole thing is destroyed. Paul says in Colossians 2, verse 4 in the NLT, "I'm telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments." Can I tell you something? Man has some well-crafted arguments, and he can come up with some doozies, and he can lead a lot of people astray. And so Paul warned us not to get caught up in all that stuff. Matter of fact, in verse 8 of that same book, he says, "Don't let anyone capture you with empty deceits, with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking." This is what happens. Men gets these well-crafted arguments. It creeps into our minds, and we get led astray. Let me exemplify this. Let me just take one of your favorite Christmas songs. As a matter of fact, we just sung it. "Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane." And you sing that, and it's so wonderful. And then it comes to this part. "Santa knows we're all God's children. That makes everything right." Is that right? Are we all God's children? Well, wait a minute. Everybody's God's children. Come on. especially at Christmas time, you know. Come on, we're all God's children, right? We all got to be God's children. Isn't that what the Bible says? Absolutely not. So what happens is that we let things cloud our thinking. And people that don't know the truth because they don't know what is written, it clouds what you believe. And so you begin to go, oh, well, we're all God's children. No, we're not. Because out of the words of Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 44 through 47, he says this, you're of your father the devil. So now there's a separation. There's a separation between children of God and children of the devil, right? Those are Jesus' words himself. You're of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He doesn't stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you don't hear because you're not of God. So we see that there's a separation between those who are born of God and those who are of their father, the devil. So don't let society, music, anything corrupt your theology, because it will get it, it'll creep in there. And people are led astray all the time. Jesus said you have to be born again. Amen. You got to be born again. You got to have that. You got to experience the second birth. Matter of fact, Jesus ridiculed a teacher of the law. He was supposed to know what was written. Old Nicodemus, Nick at Night, John chapter 3. Verse 3, Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. And so then he goes on to talk about the Holy Spirit and his coming and all those different things. And then Nicodemus responds with this in verse 9 through 10. He says, well, how can these things be? And Jesus ridicules him and says, are you a teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? Are we Christians and are supposed to know the Bible? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Peter says to grow in knowledge and grace of the Lord. Do you know how we grow? Do you know how we mature? Do you know how we get to know God? By getting to know his word. Right? So we're supposed to grow. Are we growing? I mean, that's what Jesus said. Man, you're a teacher of the law and you don't even know what's in the law? We're supposed to be Christians and growing in the word, but we don't know the word? So, the world thinks that we're all God's children. Be careful. Somebody said it's easy to point out a nation that doesn't have eternal life. Their focus is on the things of the world and not on the things of God. That was Israel, of course. Back in the day, Israel was really, they had left God. They had gone as far as they possibly could. Matter of fact, that's why Paul says in Romans 5 that God put them on a shelf. Matter of fact, he put a veil over their eyes. And when the church was established, now the church's job is to go into the world and preach the love of Christ. And so we're doing a failed job just like Israel did. But here's the idea. Jesse Bennett said this. Is that what our lives have been reduced to? A mindless, thoughtless mob of bargain-hunting vampires willing to kill to fill a void of materialism. All the while lacking everything, because as a nation, we don't ask God to fill that void in our lives. Christmas has become a holiday for savage shopping. And we do whatever we want to just to get a killer deal. And we've lost sight of real joy. The real joy of Christmas. Listen, the real joy of Christmas shouldn't just be at Christmas time. It should be all year round. Like in people that leave their lights on all year round. They want that magic to continue on all through the year. And it should. We get mad when people say Xmas. Oh, we don't want to go in a store that says Xmas. They're taking Christ out of Christmas. Do you know that's actually not the case? I really don't want to get out on a rabbit trail on this, but it's funny because when you say Xmas, you're actually saying Christmas. Because, here's the idea. Jesus talked about many different things, and he asked the disciples in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, he says, who do the people say that I am? And they said, oh, some think you're Elijah, some of the prophets, some of the blah, blah, blah. So then Jesus says, well, Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so that word Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, and it means anointed one. It means chosen one. And it's the equivalent of the Hebrew word Meshach, which is where we get our word Messiah. And so you could say that either in Hebrew, Greek, or whatever. Jesus the Messiah. Jesus the Christ. Jesus the anointed one. Jesus the chosen one. They're all the same. Now, if I said, my name is Daniel, but you called me Dan, would that be abbreviating that name? If we called Matthew Matt, that's abbreviating the name. Is it still the same person? Certainly. And so here's the Christmas story. When you say Xmas, you're still saying the same thing. Now, in the Greek, the word Christos looks just like this. That's Greek right there. You notice that first word, or the first letter? Everybody can pick that out. So you know what that became? It became an abbreviation of Christ. So actually in Roman Catholic, it actually started Roman Catholicism because they had their mass. And so they do their Christ mass. And so instead of spelling out the whole thing, they just put the X there and everybody knew it meant Christ. So it became Xmas, Christ mass. So literally, I mean, just be educated. That's all I'm asking. Hosea 4:6 says what? Somebody say it to me. Give it to me. Ooh, that's good. We're growing. That one's growing on you. We'll have to work on that one. Hosea 4:6. God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And so we need to be informed. So that's awesome. We've lost our focus here in America. Black Friday, people are knocking down the doors, killing people just to get a deal. You know what? Nobody's knocking down the doors to come in the church. When I come in this morning, there wasn't nobody waiting to get in the doors. It's just me. Actually, Scott Jones was here before me, but it's just me and him. And that was it. Do you have joy? Not just at Christmas, man. This is the issue. I think we've really forgotten this aspect. That joy, the joy of Christmas is actually a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. He is the joy of Christmas. As it is written, listen to this, Matthew 2, verse 10 and 11. As it is written, the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great what? Joy. Which are going to be to how many people? All people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Jesus himself said, as it is written, Jesus himself said in John 15:11, he says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. If you have Jesus, your joy can be full. You got joy? Matter of fact, John the Apostle said the same thing. 1 John 1, verse 3 and 4. He said, that which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you. Man, he saw Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He touched him. He ate with him. He was right there with him. And he said that you also may have fellowship with us. And he's like, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you. That what? Your joy may be full. You got joy? Joy is not a season. Joy is a way of living. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, Paul writes this. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness and peace and what? In the Holy Spirit. It's a person. That's where our joy comes from. Joy is not necessarily the absence of suffering. It is the presence of God during it. In Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, the psalmist says, in your presence is the fullness of joy. In God's presence. Man, how wonderful is that? Joy is the Christ. Matter of fact, James says the same thing. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. How awesome. When anxiety and depression come, God can still give you joy. Matter of fact, in Psalm 94, verse 19, the New Life Version, the NLV, says it this way. When my worry is great within me, your comfort brings joy to my soul. How awesome is that? D.L. Moody said this, the Lord gives his people perpetual joy when they walk in obedience. Do you know there's a joy in walking in obedience to God's commands? Psalm 119, verse 1 and 2 says this in the NLT. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. That's where joy comes from. You know, just trusting in God should bring joy. Paul says in Romans 15, 13 this. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 90, verse 14, he says, oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may have joy and be glad all of our days. Are you glad all of your days? Or just on December 25th? Does your heart truly have joy? I said joy is finding or knowing the person, and that's Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, the angel said, don't be afraid. I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to everybody. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. The joy comes in the person. Now, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. We know that. He wasn't born or created on that time 2,000 some years ago. Jesus is eternal. He's the second part of the Trinity. He's always lived. That's the day he decided to step out of eternity, indwell flesh, to be born so that he could come and die. To bring us joy. And so Paul talks about that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. He says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, because it's all about the Lord. In Psalm 71, 23, psalmist says, I will shout for joy and sing your praises because you have redeemed me. You know what? You know where that joy comes from? Knowing Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. That's all we need to have joy. Because when you have that relationship with that person, that's the joy that's found every day of the year. Someone said this, if you have no joy, then there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. But it's not God's fault, because he is, if you are saved, then he has given you everything you need. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter says this, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. But it comes by knowing him. The leak isn't from what isn't written. Is that double negative? I got to make sure I say this straight. The leak is not from what isn't written. The leak comes from what isn't learned from what's already written. It's all been written. You just have to know it. And if you don't know it, how can you say you have joy? The true joy is a gift from the Lord. It comes from the Lord. Scripture, we see that joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, verse 22. Joy comes from believing God. Joy comes from belonging to his kingdom. Joy comes from knowing that you are a brother to Christ. Because I call him brother. He's not friend, he's brother. I have all things through Christ. Ephesians, Paul says, you have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places because of Jesus. I have joy just by knowing him as my Lord. You know, God is written a wonderful, joyful love letter to the world. And he tells us how you can have joy and how to get it. You must know what is written. Can you truly say that you have joy? Got joy? Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time. Thank you for this day. Just thank you for your word. Your word has been written as a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, a guidance, our instruction manual for life. And even though things and circumstances and trials and everything that comes at us in this life, the enemy doesn't want us to be joyful. But 365 days a year, we can shout for joy just by knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Father, we just pray as this invitation comes that you just have your way. And we pray if someone's here this morning and does not know your Son, Jesus Christ is Lord, doesn't have joy, let today be the day of salvation. Let them come to know him in a personal relationship, knowing that their sins are forgiven. And today, that if something was to happen to them, they would enjoy heaven and eternal life. And Lord, let your church, your people, begin to grow in knowledge and grace of your Son. That's how you can experience joy, regardless of circumstances. May that start today. Whatever it is, Lord, we just pray that you'd have your way in this service. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.